The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International.
When you're going through a divorce, when there's the untimely death of a loved one, when you're being abused, when you're going through poverty, when you're going through something in life, the devil speaks through your pain, you're defective. God doesn't love you as much as He loves other people. You've made too many mistakes. You're not worth anything. You deserve this to happen to you.
Host of the television program Marriage Today, Jimmy Evans explains how we can break free from the chains of our painful past. Next.
Come be with us when we tape, okay? Check with us, find out about our guests. And our next guest, Jimmy Evans, is a gifted preacher. And he's a person who communicates. Some people preach, and it's like noise. But then some people preach and communicate and penetrate the heart and the mind. And he does. And this book, When Life Hurts, is where Jimmy is encouraging people to open up about the pockets of pain in their life. And he talked about what happened to him. Things that stick and they fester. Paul talked about it being like gangrene, that even words can spread like gangrene. And it's amazing how people say things, do things when we're young, that become a pocket of pain. And Jimmy talks in the book, and we're going to start out talking about that today, about the whisper that talks to you when you're hurting, and then talk about iniquity, what that means, and about vows we make that bind us. And I think you're going to really be blessed by the content of the book and what we talk about. I want you to welcome Jimmy Evans to Life Today. Jimmy, it's good to see you. Thank you. I want you to pick up. And by the way, if you miss a program, you can go to lifetoday.org, back up, and say, let me see what he was talking about, because I've got a lot of hurt. And I don't want to miss that. I want to get the book, but I want to see what he was saying in that first program. Let's pick up on this whisper that comes when you got a pocket of pain. You talked about being hurt by all the things that happened to you when you were shoveled around as a kid, and then how you took it out and you became really foolish in your pain. I mean, downright stupid.
Right.
And then when it carried over into your marriage and your wife's telling you you need to open up and admit it, you just didn't. Yeah. So I want to know why you didn't. And you talk about this whisper. Is that whisper helping you keep this pocket of pain well preserved and protected?
I think, everybody has pain, and you're going to experience pain in life. I don't think the worst thing about pain is the pain. It's the message in the pain. A silly story when I was growing up, but something that defined my life to a certain degree. I was extremely tall. My 2-year-old grandson is in the 100th percentile in height. My family's very tall. And my son's 6'4", I have a cousin 6'10". We're just tall people. Well, I was taller than my second grade teacher. And I mean, my friends they came to hear on me. And so I grew up very self-conscious about how tall I was. And I had I was in a rock fight one day and got my tooth knocked out. And so they put a big silver cap on it. The dentist did. You know how you grow into clothes?
Man, you would have been cool, right?
You know how you grow into clothes? Yeah. He gave me a tooth I could grow into. It was a big silver tooth, and my brothers called me Bucky the Silver Tooth Beaver. So in the second grade, I've got this... I'm a huge kid, big silver tooth, and I'm real self-conscious. And so in class, I'm always sitting next to the teacher, I don't know why, but I'm sitting next to the teacher, and there's another girl next to me, just about as big as me, and I felt sorry for her, but she was, and then the rest of the class, so we had a Christmas party. So in this Christmas party, everybody got a Coke and a cupcake, except for me and the girl next to me. And we got a new grape and a cupcake. And as a little boy, I remember looking through the desk of everybody in the room, and I was thinking, this is the freak section. And evidently, freaks can't drink Cokes. We have to have new grapes. And there was a something spoken into my spirit that said, you're a freak. Hmm. And from that moment forward, I had this tremendous self-consciousness about my appearance. See, in Genesis chapter 2, when God told Adam and Eve, don't eat the fruit of that tree, you know, or you'll die. Okay, Genesis chapter 3, they're tempted. The devil tempts them. They eat the fruit. The next thing that happened is they're hiding from God. They hide themselves with fig leaves. They're hiding from God. God walks up and says, what is this you've done? And he said, I was afraid because I'm naked. And then God asked Adam a question. Who told you you're naked? Well, God doesn't ask questions to get answers. Okay, God was saying to Adam, I didn't say that to you, son, I created you naked. You didn't say that to yourself. That serpent, as soon as you sinned, he used that as an open door to speak to you that you were defective. And that's who told you. This is why you're so devastated right now. And see, what makes the devil so dangerous is he's stealthy. See, the Bible says that the devil took the form of a serpent. Well, that's his nature. The devil doesn't want us to know it's him. When you're going through a divorce, when there's the untimely death of a loved one, when you're being abused, when you're going through poverty, when you're going through something in life, the devil speaks through your pain, you're defective. God doesn't love you as much as he loves other people. You've made too many mistakes. You're not worth anything. You deserve this to happen to you. The problem with pain isn't the pain, it's the message in the pain. And we have to wake up one day and realize the enemy only comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And pain is his open door to speak to us that God doesn't love us. God loves other people more. We did something to deserve this, and on and on and on. So what perpetuates the pain in many cases is we believe that lie. And for me as an example, feeling like I was a freak. I was popular with girls. I never had a problem getting a date. I was popular in school. So other people didn't see me that way. It was the way I saw myself. And so in many cases, the pain that we go through when we're growing up, it's lodged in us by a lie. And what we have to do is wake up one day and compare what we have heard or what we believe with what the Word of God says. Because that's not what the Word of God says. The Word of God doesn't say that I'm a loser. The Word of God doesn't say that God loves other people more than me or that I deserve that or anything like that. And once you take you get these things out into the open, you have to, and then you have to compare them to the Word of God. And anything that doesn't match up to the Word of God, you've got to expel it and understand it came from the devil. The devil, there are no junior demons. You know, the devil's the devil. And little kids, very young little kids, he'll speak to them. Mm-hmm. He'll use the pain in their lives to bring a lie into their spirit that will define the rest of their lives if they believe it. Most of the girls involved in prostitution, y'all help a lot of people in sex trafficking and things like that. A lot of these people feel like they're human trash. They don't feel like they're worth anything. And the devil has used the pain of their life to speak a lie into their spirit that they're not as valuable as other people, so on and so forth. So one of the things that you have to do, and in this program we're talking about breaking the cycle of pain, you have to understand we have an enemy, and he is the arch enemy of our lives. And he uses pain as his opportunity to speak into our spirit to perpetuate the pain and to drive us away from God in any healthy relationship in our lives, and even get us to hate ourselves. Once you understand that, and you just begin to say, you know something, I was sitting at so-and-so's funeral, and I was sitting there, and all of a sudden, this voice just came and said, where was God? You know, or the preacher said, you know, well, the Lord took so-and-so home. He said, I hate him. Why would he take so-and-so home? These voices here, we have to get to the point where we understand there is a devil. He speaks to us in our pain. Bring these things into the light. Anything that doesn't compare to the Word of God, we reject it from our lives. And we understand I'm not a freak. I'm the person who God created in my mother's womb. That even though I was taller than all my friends, thank God I got to protect my whole neighborhood, you know, because I did. I was the protector. God made me big for a reason. I wasn't a freak. Once I understood that, it helped to set me free from that pain. And that was a silly story, but there was a lot more than that. The other thing I want to talk about, too, is iniquities. This is another thing that perpetuates the pain in our lives. There's generational pain. And an iniquity in Deuteronomy 5 in the Old Testament, God told Moses and the children of Israel that he would visit the iniquity of the parents, the father, to the third and fourth generation. The word iniquity means bend. It means to bend or twist. And it means a bent. An iniquity means a bent to a behavior because of what your parents did wrong. An iniquity, when you are raised by parents who are godly, and all parents are imperfect, but when you're raised by parents who are godly and they teach you how to live, how to love God, how to love each other, how to think, and the values in life, you grow up straight. When you are raised by parents with anger issues, chauvinist, racist, sexist, verbally abusive, physically abusive, alcoholics, drug addicts, so on and so forth. You grow up with that natural bent. And you see families, generation after generation after generation, they pass their pain on and on and on. And so when the Bible says that God visits the iniquity of the fathers to the third and fourth generation, it just means, unfortunately, when I'm growing up, I've got the audio and video recorder going. You're teaching me how to live. And when you get mad, you're teaching me how to process anger, whether that's forgiveness and talking things out, or whether it's throwing a dish against the wall or hitting somebody.
And if your actions will speak loud in your words, you may be saying one thing with your mouth, but if you're demonstrating something else, those actions will speak more loudly than the dishonest words. Is that not true?
You bet.
Jimmy, really, because there's so many people who say, okay, buddy, I'm hurting. You know, and I mean, there may be a bunch of reasons for it. I'm glad to know the reasons, but I don't know what to do about it. What do I do?
Well, related to an iniquity, you have to, first of all, to call it what it is. If it's substance abuse, racism, sexism, you know, abuse, whatever. And then examine your own life and see if I'm doing this. It may have been done to me. And if it's done to me, you know, it's a crazy thing, but you would think the last person in the world that would abuse a child is a person who is abused. But many people who are abused, that's what they do.
Because again, to do it.
It's pre-programmed. It is, you showed me how to deal with anger, and now when I get angry, I do this. You showed me to control. You showed me to manipulate and all those things. The second thing you have to do is to repent of it in your own life. In other words, I can look back at my parents and you know, despise them for what they did. Many times I'm doing the same thing. And so I have to take responsibility. And the big one, the mother of all issues of freedom is forgiveness. It's the mother of all issues. Where there's pain, there's almost always someone associated with that pain. And I have to give them the same grace that God gives me. My dad was a workaholic, and he never came to one of my sporting events as a child, and I was in all sports. And I would say to him every day, Daddy, I've got a football game today. Daddy, I've got a baseball game today, or something like that. And he never came to a game. And he was a good man. He was worked hard. One day I was with my two aunts. My dad had 9 siblings, and with my aunts, and they were telling me stories about my dad. And they said, well, your dad slept outside every night. I said, my dad slept outside every night? And they said, oh, yeah, we had one-room house. His father was a sharecropper. There were 10 kids. My dad slept on a cot every night. In the wintertime, he slept with the horses. He ate meat once a week because they were dirt broke. And in the first grade, he went to school. And when he went into school, he didn't have his shoes on. They didn't wear shoes. They had overalls and they were bare feet. But he didn't know they were poor. They lived out in the country. And when he went into school, he saw other children with shoes on, and it embarrassed him. And he went to the front of the school and grabbed a tree and wouldn't let go until his parents came to get him. And my dad couldn't talk about his past without crying. I'd say, Daddy, tell me about your daddy. He'd just start crying. So here's what I know about my dad. When my dad was not a bad father, he wanted me to have shoes and sleep inside. And that was his value system. And I always had shoes. And I always slept inside. And he didn't want to risk coming to a game and losing his job. And when my aunts told me that story, it helped me. And what I'm saying is, give your parents grace. You know, they may have done something to you, but they had their own issues and their own baggage.
That's right.
And, you know, you can look back generationally and you can see that something happened to them. It wasn't just they walked up and slapped you. Somebody slapped them. And I want to be the end of all iniquities in my family. Karen and I said this when we got married and we heard this teaching. We are the end of all iniquities in our families. And we're going to break this, and we're going to forgive everybody that did anything to us. And our children and our grandchildren are going to be free from this generational pain that's been passed on generation to generation. The last thing, which is critically important, is to submit that to Jesus. I grew up around horrible racism. And you come to Jesus and say, Lord, I'm bent. You know, because of the environment that I came out of, my tendency is to hate. My tendency is to hit. My tendency is to drink, to whatever. I bring this area of my life to you, and I submit it, and I want you to teach me how to treat women, treat men, deal with anger, deal with money, whatever. And what happens is Jesus takes bent and makes it righteous. And we're healed. And not only are we healed, and there's a spiritual thing about this too. When you're breaking iniquity, you can just say, I break this in the name of Jesus. I break the spiritual power of this over my life and over my family and over generations to come. But the practical part of it is, Jesus said when the Holy Spirit comes, He'll lead you into all truth. He's calling the Spirit of truth. He can teach you how to be anything. So one of the things that changed our marriage, because we almost divorced, is when we were on the brink of the divorce, I said, Holy Spirit, teach me how to be a husband. He taught me how to be a husband. I'd never read a book. I'd never been to a seminar. But He helped me to to break that.
I really pray that you're not just hearing words of truth from Jimmy, but that it's impacting you in your spirit, in your heart, because it doesn't matter, you know, what's happened. And by the way, Jimmy said a mouthful that I hope you grasp about the need to forgive, you know, cut him some slack. And Jimmy, you've known me for a pretty good while, and you know my past is pretty bad. I had no family. And I was hurt a lot, and then you also know, because you watched my journey, as I've watched yours, but you saw me when God set me free and set me in a course to go and reach out to all believers, not just those in my own, quote, little denominational group or my tribe or whatever, mm-hmm. but to reach out to everybody. You saw me become a person spoken against. And one of the things that I know happened in my life was the grace of God to only forgive those who accused or misunderstood. You agree? You watch that?
You bet.
Have you not seen the blessing of God poured out indescribably by doing that? I shared with Beth Moore recently something she said really meant a lot to her. We must see all of our accusers as innocent. And you see, you can only see them that way if you're filled to overflowing with a spirit of love and forgiveness. And I really believe if people would grasp that, because see, I was moved by what you said about your dad. You came to see him in a different light.
Mm-hmm.
You quit listening to those voices. The pocket of pain opened up, but you've told folks in your book and when you're talking, we need to come clean about it, open up, it's there, and let God cleanse that pocket and let him fill it with love and joy and peace. And that's what he does. And here's the thing you need to understand. It's not going through a ritual. It's just talking to a God who is the perfect Father, full of mercy and grace, long-suffering, patient, and anxious to forgive, not willing that any would perish. So he is more anxious to forgive any of us and all of us than we could ever be to be forgiven. That father was more anxious to receive that prodigal boy than that boy ever thought he could ever be about coming home. That's the way God is for you. So ask him to take away the pockets of pain and stop the enemy's voice. Forgive those that hurt you and say, God, give me a new beginning today, and I'm going to break the chain of iniquity right now. It's over. I'm putting my foot on the back of the enemy and crushing him. Just make that announcement. You want someone to pray with you? See that phone number there? It's a prayer line. You want someone to pray with you? You don't hesitate to call. And it's also a lifeline. You know, Jimmy, a lot of people are going to be calling and saying, I want help today. And do you know, interestingly, and we're going to show our viewers some people that are in desperate need of help. And beautifully, listen to this. We've got some viewers like you who said, I tell you what, I so believe in the need to rescue people that have been trapped in sexual bondage by predators who sell them, that if we can rescue them, we'll match anything anybody will give. We'll match it. It's that important to get those people out of that bondage. So our program not only has a prayer line, it has a lifeline. And I want to show you someone, a whole lot of someones, that desperately need the love of God that only you can express by connecting with someone else that's in place to put the loving arms of God around a broken life and heart. Listen to God, but also to the need.
There are a lot of things I dreamt I'd become. This was never one of them. But it's who I am now. They tell me I deserve it. They say my parents never want to see me again. I'm never alone here for long, but alone is all I feel. I can't keep them out because my door locks from the outside. I hear they've got my sister now. She's about the age they took me. She'll fetch a good price, like I did. Of course, they say we're worthless anyway. There's no reason to smile here, but I'm forced to. I hate this place, but it's like we were meant for each other. Filth for filth. If I was worth anything at all, surely someone would have come for me. And though I'm all alone, I know there are many. I've seen too many come and disappear. Maybe they're the lucky ones.
Well, let me just tell you, we have become so effective. Many of those shots were in Thailand, where there's a lot of upheaval right now. So effective in rescuing girls and children that are headed there, and we head them off or we get them out. And Betty, it's become so dangerous, even when our grandson went over there. And even as I'm talking to you now, he's back on the mission field again. They wouldn't let us take the camera shots anymore of the children in our beautiful life center. It's one of the most beautiful places there in Thailand, which is known as the sex capital of the world. Couldn't show the children because once they might be seen and recognized, and somebody might hurt them. Same with our workers. We have to be, there were hidden cameras there to get those shots. And to rescue those girls and then get them away, we've had to be very careful. As a matter of fact, now, let me just say this, in Cambodia, where we have incredible ability now to reach these that are trapped, we need to build a safe house because we've got a life center where we minister to children that we've gotten before the predators got them and began to help, and orphans. But we need a safe house now because we're getting so many of them, Betty, they're actually trapped. We're getting them out. I mean, it's kind of a miraculous thing, scary for the missionaries, but they risk it all. And so we've got two areas we're working to reach and rescue them and restore them and rebuild their future and teach them so they can go out and make a living. We need your help. It takes $128 to rescue one. That's what the average cost is to do wherever we're working, all over the world, to rescue girls out in India, any place that we are, Nepal, all those places we're rescuing them, we find that average. So help us rescue one. Give any gift you can toward it. Here's the miracle. We've got some friends, Betty, got this soul in their heart. They said they'll match what you give, which means if you could only give half the 128, I believe it's 64, then it would be doubled, and we'd have another person rescued. So whatever you can do, but if you can give the $128, do it. But then listen, we've got to build that safe house. And that's going to cost almost $350,000 to create it, furnish it, and operate it for a full year. And we need some large gifts, several thousand dollars and $1,000 gifts. We're sending you the beautiful glass sculpture, the blessing, to say thank you if you make a gift like that. We're sending my daily gift for any gift that you make, and then the beautiful side-by-side Bible. You know how much we want to speak into your life, God's Word and His truth. Well, this is the Word of God in two versions. The Amplified expands so much with clarity to understand, and then the New International Version, one of the most highly respected versions, side-by-side, to say thank you. If you'll make that gift of $128, please do it. We want to bless you. But you're going to be rescuing these precious girls from a life of bondage. Would you dial that number, take your bank card and use it like a check, or go to lifetoday.org and make the very best gift you can. Please do it. And I want to thank you for doing it. From the bottom of our heart, we say thank you.
Human trafficking. It's impossible to believe, but at this very moment, innocent children, many very young, are being sold and forced into sexual slavery and exploited in every way imaginable. And someone must save them. With your help today, we can reach, rescue, and restore their hope for a better future. And now, a miracle opportunity of a matching grant means your gift of $128 to help rescue a child will be matched to help rescue two children. Your $64 gift will be matched to help rescue one child from the horrors of human trafficking. This year, with your help, we also hope to build a safe house in Cambodia where young rescued girls can find safety, loving care, and direction for a new life. The cost of this safe house is $345,000. With your gift, please request My Daily Gift, a beautiful new devotional describing the great love of God who treasures you more than you can imagine. With your gift of $128, which today will help rescue two children, you'll receive the Side-by-Side Bible, which includes the easy-to-read New International Version and the Amplified Text with its additional words and insights. Finally, please prayerfully consider a gift of $1,000 to help establish the Safe House in Cambodia. And you may request our 2014 commemorative glass sculpture, The Blessing. Please call, write, or make your gift online today.
You are going to be blessed with 100 promises for your every need. Tremendous truth from the Word of God. We want to help you grow in the Word. And you know, Jimmy Evans has talked about the whisper. And you can really hear that still small voice as clearly as the sound of many waters. But I'm going to tell you something. Now, you got to understand this. We need to live by every word that's proceeding from the mouth of God. In other words, He likes conversation with people. He wants to talk to you. He wants to hear your heart, and He wants you to hear His. If you want to know the voice of God and the enemy, you must know the Word of God to recognize the voice of God, because the enemy disguises himself. If you know the Word, you'll recognize the sounds in the spirit realm. We're trying to help you with that. Well, also, if you help us rescue these individuals trapped in horrible sexual trafficking, we'll also today, for any gift, we'll send you Jimmy Evans' book, When Life Hurts. It'll be a blessing to you. Thank you for your help. You want to say thanks to Jimmy Evans for being so open and honest and helping you? We love you. Love Karen. Thank you for what you're doing. By the way, there's Jimmy Evans' website. See it there on the screen. Go on his website. Find out where all you can watch him on television, hear him preach, attend his seminars, and get material he has to help you. There's his website. Thank y'all for watching.
God just may have an imprint that He wants each one of us to leave in the world that only we can leave.
Keith and Sheila Kraft, next week. Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.